on today, we have Michael Goddard, the author of the newly released A New Now. I'm Michael. So A New Now is more so like a guide that covers multiple things regarding helping readers become our most aware self, correct?
Yes, that's true. And thank you for having me, Athalia. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm excited to find out more about your book and how it can help us. One of the things I wanted to know is, why is A New Now such a critical book in the current climate, and what does it offer for people?
Well, A New Now is a transformative book, which gives readers an invaluable guide to awakening and empowering their higher consciousness so that they can readily navigate their life successfully, happily, easily. You know, Athalia, recently we've been faced with a lot of scary and heavy situations, unknowns, and new challenges, for which we've had to make the best decisions we could for ourselves and our loved ones. And often we've come across conflicting advice and confusing options. It's just been a very intense and at times toxic atmosphere. So A New Now is a reader-friendly guide that encourages active participation with the discussions and questions it presents. For those readers who engage with it, the guide enables them to master wisdom and achieve equilibrium to empower their higher consciousness and nobler self to know what to do and how to be in any given situation. So it's basically a very user-friendly manual to help you get through everything in life, whether it's a critical illness, a critical decision, or just not knowing what to do, you know, small things and major things in life.
Thank you for that. So what are some of the keys to achieving equilibrium?
What are the keys? Well, learn to know your better self, your higher self. That is, or trust your better self. That is a key. And to do that, I explain two steps for learning how to return to your spiritual center and to feel and affirm that you are pursuing your best purpose. And I go through your best purpose for your lifetime, and also for a particular season and for the day. So that's one of the keys. That's the first key. A few of the others are prioritize your day, adopt a positive attitude, eliminate unnecessaries, resolve your worries. And these 10 keys really help you rebalance and get back to your spiritual center, because equilibrium, Althea, and wisdom go hand in hand. When you're in equilibrium, it's a positive, peaceful state where you're present, and you're much you're much more empowered to be able to access your wisdom and grow it as well.
Thank you for explaining that. Earlier you mentioned the challenges that we're currently facing because of the climate that we are currently living in. How can A New Now help people navigate and master the challenges that they're facing in their lives?
Well, it can do so in many ways. Early in the book, I pose what I call the essential question: how can I live as my aware self? So if you ask yourself this question and explore it, all kinds of realms of possibility open. And these are made available throughout the discussion. One of the main pathways that creates a more advanced consciousness is to live with wisdom. So the book surveys virtually the entire range of daily life and activity and provides key insights to help people navigate the issues they're facing in life. I want to stress that it's an interactive, experiential book, so that while participating with the book, reading it, your awareness is nudged and heightened. And later, while following many of the suggestions for achieving equilibrium and mastering wisdom in real-life situations, I really kind of go through a gamut of real-life situations and decisions you face and things to ask. There are key questions to ask yourself throughout the book to really focus on how to live your life, the best life. So this is really a very practical but also inspiring manual on how to live your best life for you, not for what your parents expect or your peers or your friends, but the true authentic you. It's really a pathway to realizing your authentic self.
That makes sense. Because we are, like you mentioned earlier, we are facing so many different challenges currently, but even prior to COVID, a lot of us were facing a lot of different challenges in our day-to-day lives, professionally as well as personally.
Yes. Yeah, I actually have had a few comments. I mean, the book's just been released, but I've already had quite a few comments. You know, gee, I wish I'd had this early last year, just, you know, when COVID was hitting. And I'll tell you, I felt really blessed because I was able to negotiate and navigate all the challenges that came up. There was so much conflicting information and scary things, and we just didn't know what to do. And I was able to really kind of remain in equipoise. And that's when, I mean, people had very different situations. I mean, some people were forced to live together with people they didn't normally live with, and you know, be exposed to different things. I was really on the other end of the spectrum. I live alone, so I kind of rely on seeing a couple friends a week or more, and going to spiritual meetings once a week. Well, all that fell away. All my local friends fell away except for one who was mainly in a second home most of the time. So I was really living as a hermit, which was quite an adjustment. But I really mastered that situation. And believe me, as terrifying and challenging 2020 was at times, I really came out of it. It was really a golden year for me. I really enjoyed much of it, and I became so grateful for what I have. So, I mean, COVID is not the end of our challenges. God only knows what we're going to face with, you know, climate change getting worse, a very polarized political environment, you know, violence. So I'm hoping people will be able to read the book, and I think it's very clearly written, and really share it with their friends and loved ones to help them get through their lives.
Yeah, it's definitely a good tool for anybody.
Yes,
no matter where we are in our lives, this is a good tool because it offers so many good nuggets in this book to help us navigate through life and even with ourselves.
Right. And there's just all kinds of benefits you can gain from it. I mean, there's clarity of mind, centering and focusing of your energy, knowing what to do when, which I think is crucial. And there's also choice and enrichment of relationships. Many of us are in relationships that don't serve us, where we even have a much higher regard for people than they have for us, and we may not realize it. So I go through different exercises and series of questions to help people realize, you know, what relationships are valuable and to be valued. And also I go through a lot of help and support for people going through physical challenges to do enlightened healing. There are so many people who may be faced with a health challenge who end up going through it kind of blindly, just following whatever advice they get. So it's very much parts of the book are there to empower people to really direct their health in the best way possible. I've been through some monumental health challenges. Many times it could have been the end of me. But luckily, I had developed my intuition and sense of knowing so that I was able to kind of go within and be quiet in equilibrium and make the right decisions. I mean, I've been developing my intuition really since I've been 20, since my 20s, but in my 40s, I began to focus more. But it was after I basically had a major operation. My intestine died, and unbeknownst to me, I had exploratory surgery. Luckily, somehow I got to urgent care center where they got me to the hospital. And so after that, I was going through all these ball obstructions, which is one of the most painful things you can ever go through. I was having partial ones all the time, total ones that I had to get to the ER as soon as possible and be treated as soon as possible. Well, the upshot of that was that I had to know spoonful after spoonful what I could eat and ingest, because if I eat a little bit too much, it would push me over the edge and bring on a bowel obstruction. And even if it was a partial one, as painful as that would be, I would be able to stay home most of the time, but then I'd have to fast for any number of meals and lose more weight. So it's really during those years where all day I was having to use my intuition just to know what to eat. And I kept finding out that there would be things my higher knowing would know that my everyday consciousness had forgotten. Like there would be some kind of food hidden behind something in a pantry or a cabinet. And I just couldn't figure out, you know, what am I supposed to eat? And I kept getting no's, and I'd be directed to look for just what I needed. So this is really inviting people to take the first step in really empowering their lives, for really realizing who they can be.
And I think personally speaking for myself, I think that one of the things is we have to pay attention to our gut. Because what I realized is when my gut would direct me to something or reveal something to me, I ignored it. And those are the times that I regretted ignoring my gut feeling. When I started paying attention and like following my gut instinct and instead of ignoring it, then that's when I started benefiting from that and I started bettering myself.
Yes, that's absolutely
just
right.
Just from that alone.
We have to really catch and pay attention and follow those gut feelings or those inner promptings. I write a lot about intuition, and to clarify it, intuition is one of my five sources of wisdom that I write about. And one thing I think it'll help people and clarify for people is I identify four kinds of intuition in the book. And they're very, really kind of different kind of experiences of intuition and how to work with them. So that's the source of intuition each of us has. I talk about all of us having what I call an inverted well of consciousness, which is like an aquifer. And for those who aren't familiar with an aquifer, it's like an underground system of water-bearing rock. And where I live in Palm Springs, we're lucky to have an aquifer. And, you know, water can be taken up from the aquifer. And then I also liken a lot of the exercises and meditation to blasting away the rock in your aquifer to kind of release that higher inner consciousness. So each of us has the divine spark. We're all connected to God or higher power, whatever you want to call that creative power. And that's our soul. And we all of us have the opportunity to realize God more in our lives. I mean, I feel that's why we're here on this very challenging school called Earth.
I agree with you, Michael. So I recently did an interview. It hasn't published yet, but one of the questions I was asked is, who's that one person that I would give credit to or have to thank for any achievements that I've had. And I answered the question by saying, I know that you asked for a person, but for me, God is that person for me, because God's guidance is the only reason I am where I am today.
Oh, well,
because there were so many diversions. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I just said that's beautiful and inspiring.
Yeah. There were so many diversions and so many distractions and so much harm that was purposely trying to be done to me. But I feel like it was only because of God that I was protected and I was guided to what my true passion is. And God instilled it in me to think for myself. Don't allow myself to be manipulated and encouraged to do wrong. I'll say that. And because of that guidance and because of God putting that in me, I was able to avoid a lot, but it's only because of God's guidance and the things that He instilled in me, the strength, the talent, the caring personality, all those things is what makes me who I am. And so that was the person who I named for that question. It was God. God was my person. So I agree with you about having that higher belief or God or whoever it is that you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, thank you. And we all have that. It's just a question of turning within and becoming more and more aware. I mean, that's why I state the essential question is, how can I live as my aware self? And I speak a lot about God, but also I give people, some people have different emotional feelings about it, just having that name put out there. And so I give different options. Like I use the word love source quite a bit with as one word with the S capitalized. For those who think it may have some kind of masculine connotation, which it really shouldn't, or if just somehow they went through in their childhood different experiences which may have turned them away or soured them. It's just that that higher power really has no name. It's been called different names throughout history, but there is that one unifying creative power of love we have, and we're all connected to it, and we can all access our higher consciousness and find our way back ultimately to rejoin our home, actually.
I agree. Thank you for that, Mike. Also, you mentioned the journal journey. What is the journal journey?
I'm so glad you brought that up. That's really the means for making the best use of the book and getting the most value out of it. But it's also the best means for empowering your own spiritual evolution. I write about, you know, how to work with the journey journal. It's something you can start on your own. But I also have it up on my website. And the website is Goddard.com. And I'll spell that. You can just think of two words, God, G-O-D, and Dart, D-A-R-T for Tom. So if you go to Goddard.com under free media, there's a Word file called Journey Journal, and you can just download the Word file. And it's basically all the chapters and the sections. There are many, many sections within the book, and you can use that as a template, either writing after it or writing within each section. And that way you can date your entries, and you can put in what you want to accomplish, you know, how you're feeling. I give all kinds of pointers on how to work with it. But, you know, there's so many uplifting and practical books we may read that nourish our mind, body, and spirit. But, and maybe you'll take away one or three things, but after a week, at least for me, I tend to forget them. So this is a way of solidifying your knowing and locking in your progress and knowing where you've come from. It's really a way of charting your path toward higher and higher spiritual evolution.
Okay. In this Stumpkin, can you, would you agree, or maybe not, that the Journey Journal is something like a, is it something like a normal journal?
Yeah, it is a journal, and you don't even have to, I give all kinds of alternative names for it. You can just call it diary or whatever you can call whatever you want, but it's just a regular journal, but, which you can download if you have Word on your computer, you can, use it in that way, but you can also handwrite it, in a bound book, if you wish, too.
Okay.
That's just a perfect name. Yes, it is. It seemed to me while I was writing, like the title of the book, just I finally, was wanting to write something new, and I had a few notes, and I started the book, and bam, there was a new now. It just came out right at the beginning. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Good.
Yeah, it's really a good tool, and I think for anyone who utilizes the new now, I think that once they complete it and go through it, that they will probably discover that they've grown somewhere in their life.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, you say higher mind, better mind, and nobler mind. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because that helps people. It really will help orient them toward who they are. So many people really think they are their minds and they think their thoughts are themselves. But the mind operates on a huge spectrum. Actually, saints and masters will refer to higher mind and lower mind. And I also identify your habitual mind. Your higher mind is basically your better self. It's the self that likes to be kind and helpful and be of service, that is more oriented toward God. Your lower self is really a slave to your senses. Anything comes across your path, you're going to go toward it for sensual enjoyment. It's the part of you that can be mean and backbiting and indulge in negative thinking, negative gossip. Part of you that can lack discipline. Well, we can go from totally negative to higher mind, in a half a second. Your habitual mind is really the mind that helps you just show up routinely, that helps you get into rhythms like brushing your teeth every day, helping your young child dress, getting to work on time. That's your habitual mind. You kind of need that to get on in life. And so so much of the book is really differentiating between them. And the whole point of the book is to help you identify with your higher mind, but also know that that is not the true you. The true you is your soul, that immortal spark of the higher being of God. And to operate here in the physical on earth, we need a mind and we need a body. And our mind, runs the spectrum from, we see people commit horrible atrocities every day. Well, their lower minds are predominant. The more spiritually evolved you become, Athalia, the better chance you have of having your higher mind become predominant. In my last book, In Search of Lost Lives, that's my spiritual memoir, in which I recover, 88 past lives, I pinpoint the life when my higher mind became predominant. Also, I describe in the lives preceding that when they were basically evenly balanced. So it wasn't until really 12 past lives ago that my higher mind became predominant. And that's what we're aiming for, because it'll make life a lot sweeter and better.
More pleasant.
I'm sorry, more what?
More pleasant.
Yes. So I'm glad you asked about that, because that's a key part of the book, and that is actually in the first chapter as well.
Thank you for explaining that to us. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, what are the five sources of wisdom?
Okay, yeah, I touched on that a little earlier. The five sources of wisdom are clear-headedness, inspiration, intuition, forgiveness, and listening. And they're all kind of broken out. For instance, listening is the fifth source of wisdom. And I talk about five. Each of these can exist on a wide spectrum. I describe listening to nature, listening to the wisdom of others, reading, listening to your intuition, and listening to inner sound. And listening to inner sound is sort of like a direct source, a direct conduit to wisdom and knowing, because inner sound is like the creative force of the creation. And a lot of people can hear it. There are teachers who can connect you and show you how to focus in meditation on that. But those are the five sources of wisdom. The first one is clear-headedness, and that's, I define, as being able to think clearly, rationally, and logically. If your mental state is in a constant state of being scattered, lazy, and delusional, it's challenging to access your wisdom. Thus, it's crucial to be aware of your thoughts and question them as to whether they're faulty beliefs based on prejudice, misinformation, or misperception rather than facts and truth. And we've got some major issues now in the country about facts and truth. So I'm hoping that, you know, people who read the book will help their friends and loved ones move toward clear-headedness. And in this important section, I have the reader ask themselves a series of questions, and I take them through different examples. And if we have time, give you a few of the questions. Are you sacrificing?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. We have time. Good. Are you sacrificing your clear-headedness? And then I take them through a series of questions and examples of how they may be. And then, are you under the influence? And I give different examples. Are you under someone's spell? That's a really important one. And are you compromising yourself? We often compromise ourselves unwittingly. We're not even aware of it. And it's not honoring our higher self. So the clear-headedness section is a very key one, and that's the first one in the five sources of wisdom.
Thank you for that, Michael. As I mentioned earlier, the new now is definitely a good tool for anybody who wants growth, and I'm positive that anybody who uses this guide will come out with growth in probably multiple areas of their lives. Where can anybody order this book?
Well, it's available all over, you know, on Amazon and BNN.com. An easy way to get to it is just to go to my website, Goddart.com, G-O-D-D-A-R-T for Tom, and there are highlighted links you can click over to Amazon. But there's a lot of free and fascinating information on the site. I've got quite a few interviews people can listen to, and they can read a good excerpt from the book first to get familiar with it.
Thank you for that, Michael, and thank you so much for joining us today. I truly enjoyed our conversation and what you shared with us today. Hope you continue success in everything that you're doing.
Oh, you're most welcome. I really enjoyed sharing this time with you, and loved getting to know you, Athalia.
Thank you, same here, Michael. And enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend and the beautiful weather.
Yes, I will. It's going to be well over 100 in it before long. So this is our quick spring.
We're only at 80 or 82 or something like that. Yeah.
That's pretty good for Illinois.
Yeah. Right. So thanks again, Michael. And have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Okay. All the
Thank
best.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.